surprised. I think Mr. Miller had called me on Monday and said, I'm heading north, so are you ready? I said, sure, why not? That's interesting. I was reading the latest National Geographic, and it's talking about black holes and the power and the intensity of the gravity when a sun decides to collapse on itself. And they were talking about how powerful these black holes are and what, you know, in the universe. And Einstein actually believed that, you know, it couldn't physically be possible. And, you know, when we talk to people throughout our lives, we have many conversations. And I like to talk to people about science. You know, not that I'm a scientist, but I love to talk to people about science and matters of the earth. And, of course, we know that as potential sons of God, that we have a lot to learn. But, you know, some of us, as we mature, get a little wiser. And, unfortunately, some just get older. And our shift must, as Christians, we must mature. And in that process is the fact that we understand, we come to understand at a greater degree that we're not seeking our own will, but asking God, what do you need from me? What do you need from me? And as we slow down on our own personal wants and needs in prayer, we learn to pray for others. I love Mr. Bosler's prayer. Just thank you very much. So that we come to understand and we're there for those, praying for those who are going through trials. We spend less time on our personal requests and we truly start to recognize that God is providing every tool possible that we need to make it to His kingdom. And as that light comes on in our mind and we start to awaken to the calling that God has given us, and we're doing what we're doing, we start to see through a mirror that is dimly lit, and it starts to clear itself, as it says over in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. It says, for now we see through a glass or a mirror darkly. That's enigma. That's the root word from the Strong's Concordance. It means enigma. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. And I kind of like the way that the contemporary English version said it. It says, we don't know everything, but we will. Our understanding grows as we replace our desires for worldly gain. It's a distraction that inhibits us and our ability to see clearly on what matters most. With the increase of God's Holy Spirit, the fleshly desires wane. And we see the reason why we're here on earth and what our calling is. And as that awakening comes on, and as we mature as Christians, we come to recognize the absolute superiority of God's way of life. Instead of following the system that Satan has put in place, chasing mindless, meaningless goals that end with prizes, as the scriptures say, where moth and dust does consume. Satan's effort towards us is intensely to keep us from being on the same plane as God, to worry about whatever you think is most important. What's most important? And when we eliminate all the selfish concerns, we understand, and as we grow and we mature, and, you know, I'm 30 years after baptism, and I'm just starting to understand things. I'm just starting to understand. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Maybe some of you aren't as hard-headed as me, and it doesn't take as long. But I'm really starting to see, okay, what is this agape love that God keeps talking about in the scriptures? And what I'm noticing most, and what we come to understand as we draw closer to God, is the greatness that's on display. simple acts of kindness, love shown between people, his servants, loving one another, caring for one another, serving one another. And then recognizing the creation around us, being able to open the window and hear the birds chirping and know God that has made all of these things possible, to hear the wind blowing, to hear the rain coming down this morning. Incredible. I was speaking with a friend this morning, and you know, it's amazing because, you know, some people are weird. We're all up at 4:35, 36:30 in the morning. We're texting one another and, you know, in amazement about God's plan, in amazement about God's creation. When the weight of the world seems to be weighing us down, we have to take time, brethren, take time to enjoy what God's creation has given us. And it is high time that we recognize the most powerful force in this universe. And that is the title of today's message, the most powerful force in this universe. And I'm speaking of God's Holy Spirit. When the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth and throughout our history, Satan has tried to blind mankind to be concerned about self, to be concerned about worldliness. And you think, oh God, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. Brethren, take heart, because we have the most superior power in the universe that is telling you, what's your name? You, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I love you. And I want you to be a part of my family. And when we get rid of those distractions, when we start to see clearly, and when we are on the same mind frame, the same level of understanding, which we won't be in this physical human body, but when we are starting to rise to the understanding of what God has in store for us, it's truly amazing. Christ gave all. His commitment to us was one that he wanted to do. He wanted to sacrifice himself for us. And what we don't get sometimes, and I think it doesn't dawn on us, is you've got billions of galaxies out there and one little itty-bitty planet where Satan, the god of this world, is still in charge for the time being. Christ is already qualified to take him out of his realm, to take him off his throne. So you got 99.99999 again, go on, percent of the universe under God's control, and that 0.0000001 that Satan's in charge of. But we give him credence, and I'm here to tell you that let's change our focus. Let's change our focus and let's look towards God, see his greatness, be in awe of the power that he has for us. Why? Because that's who he is. That's who he is. Lucifer, now Satan, who is the god of this world, is so limited. His power is so minuscule compared to God, the god of this universe. And he has nothing to offer you. I mean nothing. Lies, deceit. He wants to see you dead. Why would anybody want to be friends with such a being? None of what is considered value in this world, the vanity, the greed, the pride of life, will result in true value of being a family member with God. As I mentioned, God has complete power. Sometimes we have a hard time recognizing that. God's in control, brethren. God is firmly in control. We can't say it enough. And as the scales fall from our eyes and we come to that recognition, everything that God the Father and Jesus Christ the Savior are offering to us is true life, true understanding, a way of life that will lead to completeness for eternity. You're being offered eternity. We will have that rest with our Savior. We will understand the greatness of God. The plan of salvation that God has described through His holy days, we see everything. And it's all truth. No lies, nothing mixed in. All truth. That's what we want. You know, I reckon that, you know, God, this universe, the calling He's offering you is far more valuable, but to put a value on it would say a diamond. And then you have Satan who's offering a cubic zirconium. And he's blinded the minds of this world. And yes, in all its brilliance, that cubic zirconium, when cut, can sparkle and reflect beautifully. And you know, it can shine just like a diamond. And we think about it. We've all played rock, paper, scissors. You know, people are willing to die for rocks, diamonds, rubies, gems, paper, money, scissors. That's what Satan has to offer you. He wants to cut you off from understanding God's way of life. To follow the path of greed and the hoarding of wealth, corrupt governments are trying to exact all the wealth that they can for their own desires. For their own desires, as it mentions over in James chapter 4 and verse 1. James chapter 4. It says in verse 1, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even as are lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that they may consume it upon their own lust." See, it's that agape love that guides our heart. Excuse me, I'm not used to wearing this. Sorry about that. It's the agape love that guides us to understanding that, what can I do for you? Not what can be done for me. And you know, brethren, as I mentioned, those scissors. Turn with me, if you would, over to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, a very familiar scripture. We don't want to be cut off. We want to be there. And for those that don't understand, they will. They'll come to that understanding in their own time frame. But as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that you and your seed may live." Satan pressures us hard sometimes, and we're vexed. We're vexed, God, what am I going to do? But when we slow down and think, okay, God, let me count my blessings. Let me count my blessings. And you know, when it says over in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, you can turn over there. It's Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And here's one of our rallying cries. Verse 15, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers that were on the side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or in who is in this land. But as for me and my house, our house, we will serve the Lord. See the great power. What it does. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. so that mankind would have the opportunity to be a part of his family. And of course, everyone in their own time frame, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. Verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are with Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when we shall have delivered up to the kingdom, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power." Dropping down to verse 42, it says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power." What power? God's Holy Spirit. Infused in you. Being a part of God's family. Verse 44. "It is sown in a natural body, but raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Do we recognize what's before us? Do we see it? Do we understand it? Do we comprehend all of what God has in store for you? We know that we can't see everything. When I think about John and those that had visions come to them, the Apostle John, and they couldn't understand it. They wrote it down, but they really didn't understand what they were looking at. The magnificence of God's kingdom. But you know, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 44. You know, there is no amount of wealth that can substitute for what we've been offered by the God family. You personally have the opportunity to be a part of his family. And as it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a hid treasure hid in the field, that which the man has found, he hides, for the joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who had found one pearl of great price, went and sold that he had and bought it." Are you in? Did you sell everything that you had? When you went under that watery grave, did you realize the commitments you were making? Do we understand what is at stake? You have, what's your name? The opportunity for a personal relationship with the God and the God family. And you know, the mental freedom and the clarity that you get as to why the purpose of our birth and what is our end becomes more clear as we draw closer to God. The ultimate prize of being able to live and dwell with the God family, I don't think we comprehend, but we will. We are. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Excuse me. In Romans 8 verse 7 it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. "It is hostile towards God, so that they are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9, "But you are in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not up to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die, but you shall see in spirit and do mortify. That means kill the deeds. Kill the deeds of the body. You shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And you know, in Satan's twisted mind, our adversary, fear is something that we want God, he wants to intimidate, he wants to bully, he wants to bring about an improper fear, where we have reverence for God. We know that he's all powerful. Obviously, Lucifer, now Satan, didn't. For as Christ mentioned, I saw him fall like lightning. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, but that's not why you're here today. You're here to learn, to grow in his love and his grace and his understanding and his peace. Verse 16 in Romans 8, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Brethren, God does not, if he's not chastening you, you got to, there's problems. We need those trials. We need that understanding. We need those things to help us grow. Because who's to say that the lesson you're learning today, tomorrow, next week, you won't use or you won't be able to teach somebody 5 million years from now? Going back on verse 18, it says, for I reckon the sufferings at its present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. Me as a puny human, I can't espouse, I can't say enough. I can't say it in the way that would bring about a term for you to just have the absolute fear and awe and reverence to understand who God is, what your calling is, how you, this little group here in Phoenix, and those other Sabbath keepers out there, those people that are truly looking to obey God and do everything, not part of it, everything. He's offering you a lot. And we know that it says in Revelation 5 and verse 10, you don't have to turn there, and he has made unto us God's kings and priests, and we shall reign here on earth with him. What a magnificent calling. Do we get it? Do we get it? Do we understand what he's trying to tell us? Do we have the proper understanding? Do we allow our minds to grasp and hold on to and never let go of the magnificent calling that God has for us? It's humbling, extremely humbling, to think that you, a little piece of clay, he's offering you spiritual life, and not only spiritual life, but to be a part of his family. Incredible. But you know, we live in a world right now that this is Satan's interpretation of his perfection. His warped mind does not allow you to see, does not want you to see the greatness of God. So he wants you to focus in on yourself and focus in on your problems. And when you sit down with your Bible and you study, when you pray, when you meditate, when you fast, doesn't that sense of calm come over you? Because you know what? You're wiping away all the goo off your windshield. All the goo, all the mud. And this is Satan's nirvana. He was there. He was a covering cherub. Lucifer was a covering cherub. He went from experiencing the very essence of God's Holy Spirit, the power that was generated from him, to nothing. Not even access anymore. None of that goodness. You see, in the third heaven, it's still bright. It's beyond interpretation. What we see in this universe right now, what we see around us when we look at the stars and the cosmos, is the janitor's closet. Compared to what God has in store for us in the third heaven and what he's going to bring with him. Satan knows, our adversary, but he wants you to focus in on his power. Ooh, there's trouble in the Ukraine. Oh, there's fighting in XYZ country. Focus, focus, focus. We have a calling. God has a plan. We have to execute. We have to execute. And just like a pro athlete, it's described that the many pro athletes, they're pros because they're willing to take the time to practice as much as they practice to become a pro athlete. You are in training to become God's son, sons and daughters. Brethren, why do we humanize God? Why do we limit the most powerful being in this universe? Again, this is Satan's quote-unquote nirvana. But you know, we can't be consumed or blinded by what God, the true power, the extreme power that God has, that God is, what God does. You know, what Satan's, the filth and squalor that he lives in right now, bad is good, up is down, wrong is right. But we know that every good gift comes from above. Satan's gifts don't. I marvel that everybody, every wicked thought that Satan has, our adversary, pervades to mankind the destruction of all of us. That's what he wants. Yes, Satan knows that the plan is in progress and his end is coming. But he's driven, programmed, if you will, so much so that he can't stop himself from wanting to see us destruction, because he can read the book too. He's got to know that when Christ returns, you know, when he brings it to that edge, when the day of the Lord comes, his time is short. And you know, as it says over in Revelation 20, in verse 1, you don't have to turn there. Because it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Verse 2, "And he laid hold on that great dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations any more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he'll be loosed a little season." The amazing part is, he comes out with the same plan, same purpose, same drive, and deceives many. But we can't be that person. We can't be. We will already be spirit beings by this time. If you decide to choose to take God upon his calling, because many are called, few are chosen, but you have a choice. Choose life. Choose greatness. Choose the abundance that God has to offer. Choose the ability to serve one another and to live as close to possible as we humanly can, according to God's will. Again, that dazzling sin, that cubic zirconium that he's offering, sin may look appealing, but it's not even a real diamond. We can overcome, brethren. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life here on earth, 12,000 plus days he lived on this earth and never sinned. All of us sitting in this room will say, well, I'd be lucky to make one. But you know what? He lived that perfect life so that he could show mercy on us. Because his blood, his shed blood, when we repent, covers those sins. When Christ said you should have faith to move mountains, why is that so hard to believe? Why is it a thought? Well, you know, that was for those guys back then. That's not being done today, really. Ask God in the right way for the right things. As he mentioned in James, don't ask for yourself, ask for others. God knows what you need. But there's no lack when it comes to God. You know, when we recognize the true power of the Holy Spirit, it's as our level of understanding of what agape love is. Being selfish, being self-centered, that's not what this is all about. This is what Satan's all about. And you know, you think about it, when we go back, let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. Excuse me, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. It says, Son of man, take up a lamentation of the king of Tyrus and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, you were the seal of the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of the tabrets and of the pipes was prepared for thee when you were created. Imagine that. Satan wanted a little bling. Sound familiar? It was all about him. Wasn't that, oh man, let me just have one. Here, let me give some to somebody else. No. Let's go on in verse 14. You were the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Imagine that. Imagine the resonating power of God and being able to cover his throne with those wings that he had. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Verse 15. You were perfect in your ways till when you were created, till iniquity, lawlessness, was found in you. And by the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you in violence and have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you out as profane of the mountain of God. And I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of beauty, and you have corrupted the wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast you to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold you. His fate's sealed. Excuse me. His fate is sealed. He understands. He doesn't want to believe it. Of course, he's going to go challenge God again. He challenges us all the time. But we need to put that aside and recognize who he is, what he has to offer. And then we need to recognize who God is and what God is offering. And when you read over in Isaiah 14, verse 12, you can't read Ezekiel 28 without Isaiah 14, 12. When he talks about, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For if you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars being the angels. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be the Most High. Yet you were brought down to hell in the sides of the pit. that they shall see narrowly upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble and the kingdom shake? When he's exposed for who he truly is and what he has to offer, nothing. And when everyone is allowed to see how great God is, see, you right now are coming to that great understanding that there is more to this life. It is not eat, sleep, and for tomorrow we die. There's more to this calling. There's a reason why you're supposed to pick up this book, study it, talk about it, fellowship with one another, endure one another's pain, suffer one another's afflictions, be there for people. Don't allow our brothers to go, if they're in pain, be there for them. Whether it be trials through jobs, death of a loved one, trials at work, whatever. It's our responsibility, according to God's will, that we take care of one another, to serve one another. How can I help you? What can I do to be that person that you need to be? Sometimes you just need to talk to people. And sometimes you just need to listen. Some of the greatest conversations I've had is when I say very little. Because I've heard myself talk before. It's not very exciting. It's embarrassing to listen to yourself on the internet. Man, is that me? But you know, these are God's words, not mine. Agape provides the deep wisdom and the greater understanding, the love that God gives and infuses in us so that we understand and we inculcate it into our lives so that we understand more and want to do more. It's not, wow, I got it. Okay, I'm done. No. This is for eternity. You're never going to stop learning. You're never going to stop growing. This opportunity that God is offering you is forever. Forever. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We speak of the wisdom of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, let's begin in verse 4. It says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that have come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto glory. You have access. He is giving you that understanding. Verse 8. Which one of the princes of the world knew, for he had known it, that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory? But it is written, eye has not seen, nor is ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Brethren, that's you. That's you. If you continue to choose life, to choose this journey, and to want to do what God has in store for us. Verse 10, but God has revealed to them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows that the things of a man say the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now I have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is in God, that it might be known to the know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's a big sentence right there. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, I'm still flesh. Yes, but our mind, our understanding, God's working with us. That Holy Spirit that you got when you went under that watery grave, just that little snippet continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And you don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. You want to allow that Spirit to grow. And you don't want to be distracted by the things that Satan has to offer. Verse 14, it says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, in the world, sometimes you are thought of as a not too bright. Not too bright. Why? Because you're willing to give, and you give time, and you're there, and you believe what they have to say. Standard answer for most people is to lie. For a lot of people, I shouldn't say most. Because they want to see where you're coming from. We live in a world of truth. We want God's truth. We don't want to be lied to, nor do we want to lie to one another. When we converse amongst one another, we shouldn't have to look at anybody and say, hey, you know what, he's lying. You know he's lying. No. We, as a body, as a part of the body of Christ, we want to talk to one another plainly, lovingly, and asking one another, what can I do to help you? What can I do to serve you? How best is it? Hey, I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt your feelings. Now, if you're sinning, it's my job to say, hey, look, my brother, don't keep following that path. Because we want to be as a group together, shoulder to shoulder, moving forward. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And as we mature, we understand the agape love that God is offering us. We harmonize together in this calling. When you see people at odds, where's the Spirit of God? Yes, you will have disagreements. But the overriding factor should always be, okay, let's take it to the Scriptures, and not so I can beat you over the head with it, but let's find out what God wants from us. Let's make our decisions based upon a godly attitude, a humble, serving attitude. And it's okay to disagree. But be there for one another. Serve one another. Mature. Christ, you know, when you think about it, when we think about over in John chapter 18, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 18, verse 10, it says, here's Peter. Peter, still not having received the Holy Spirit, was there on the mountain with God, and, you know, they're coming to take Christ away. And oh boy, he pulls out his sword. And good thing he wasn't a very good swordsman, because he missed. But he got his ear. And Simon drew his sword and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. But we read in Luke 22 and verse 51, Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Here's somebody to come to kill you, Christ. Somebody was coming to kill Christ, but he still healed him. Understand that, brethren. It's going to take a lot more as times get tougher. We have to fall on our knees and look to God, serve God, and understand that there's no comparison to what Satan's offering you and what God and God the Father and Jesus Christ are offering you. It is only when we lose focus. It's like Peter when he stepped out of the boat. We saw Christ. Christ, God's greatness on display. This man was walking on water. But then he started to see the waves. He started to see the splashing. Do we get it, brother? Do we get it? Do we understand? Do we comprehend all of what God is offering us right now? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be on the other side? Or do you want to be a part of God's plan? When we think about it, in John 15 and verse 10, it says, if we keep his commandments, we shall abide in his love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Christ was here for what? The Father. To do the will of the Father. Let me ask you this. Are God's commandments grievous? Oh, here's that Sabbath again. Well, I got stuff to do. Maybe I can work a little bit. Or do the enticements of the world make you regret that you're part of this church? Part of the calling that God has given you? Well, you know, I don't get to play football on Friday nights. I don't get to go out and have any fun. Really? Honestly? God's offering so much more. Our life is but a vapor. Our life is but a vapor. I remember sitting at the Feast of Tabernacles in 1976 as a 12-year-old boy thinking, what is my dad doing here? The only thing I really liked about that was the fact that Dad had lots of money so I could ride the go-karts. And I didn't want any of my seven brothers and sisters to go to the feast too, because I was the only one that went. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you don't want to go to the feast. No. Yeah. Oh, we had to go sit at church every day. But I got to ride the go-karts, mini bikes, and everything else. Selfish. I was a 12-year-old. When I got baptized at 19, you know, I tried to be that sports hero. And I, you know, my dad, I tried to excel at sports when I was back in the day. And when I got baptized, my dad said, now I'm proud of you. What? All those awards don't mean anything? Well, they were good, but this is life. Fast forward to 2014. Who'd have thunk it that I'm standing here before you? Not as somebody who's, oh yes, I'm in this position. I am but a man. God could set a rock up here and talk to you. But he loves you enough to know that he wants you to get it. He wants you to get it, to serve him, to humble yourselves, not to covet, not to fight against what he has, what he's trying to give you. It's like a little child, you know, when you say, come on, let's go this way, and they're fighting against you. And then you give them that toy that you were trying to show. Ooh. Wow. Do we get it? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. As it mentions, and I'll just go back for a second. God's laws were in place for a reason. And not one of them have been removed. Other than the physical sacrifices, God's holy days are still in place, intact. God's commandments are intact. As it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, it says, and he said to him, Christ said, why call me good? There's none good but one, a God. But if you will enter into the kingdom, keep the commandments. That's why we're here, brethren. And in 1 John 5 and verse 2, it says, by this we know the love of the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We need God. You know, as the records of the annals of King David, he committed many sins, horrendous sins. But yet and still, God called him a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented of those sins. His attitude. When you look at Saul and you look at some of the other examples, Saul always had somebody else to blame. Well, it was the people. What is that bleeding I hear in the back? You know, Samuel, I tried to tell him, we're not supposed to have that, but, you know, hey, we'll sacrifice him for to God. That's why I did it. David lived up to, fessed up to his sin, repented of it. And as it says in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Is there enough emphasis in your life to grow spiritually and not desire the worldly, or to lust after the worldly gains? Or do we continue to lean to our understanding, or do we look to the scriptures to learn right from wrong? So we can do exactly what our elder brother did and live that perfect life. Can we make one day of perfection? Perfection can be had through Christ's shed blood and our repentance. And even now, we still have, until we come to that great understanding, until our change comes. No, we cannot earn our salvation, but we have to follow the example Christ left. And what did Christ say to us? I'm here for the Father. I'm here to do the Father's will. He committed no sin as an example to us, and he loved. When you think about the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. Here's one of those aha moments, because you know what? When Jesus wept, people think, oh, how he loved him. But yet still, they didn't understand. That was God in the flesh. They didn't understand his power. Even though they had seen miracle after miracle, they never understood it. They couldn't grasp it. Do we get it? Do we understand what is being offered to you? Is it worth your time to be here every Sabbath? Is it worth your time to do the things necessary to serve God and to serve one another? We have to do likewise. And we have to grasp that big picture. That big picture. That all this is just but a vapor. This life. As I said, in 1976, fast forward to 2014, I never knew that this was going to be where I'm at. And I don't know what's ahead of me. But one thing I do know is that as God's Spirit, draw upon God's Spirit, the closer you try to get with God, the more humble you get, because you realize how much you got to do to be closer to God. But it's about the journey, brethren. It's about the journey. As it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. As I mentioned before, eye has not seen, nor do we completely grasp and comprehend the superiority of God's way of life. When the Apostle John, as I mentioned before, had those visions, he didn't quite get it. He didn't know, understand what he was seeing. But he knew it was so much so that he was shaking. We must look to God for answers and not lean to our own understanding. God's way of life is for eternity. And you have the opportunity. Who are you? What's your name? To be a part of eternity. Let's see here, as we come closer to towards the end, the love of many will wax cold. And you know, as it says in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, You know, there's going to be a famine of the word. Common sense isn't very common anymore. We see judgments in our courts, and you ask yourself, wow, where did that come from? How can that even be? How can that even, 20 years ago, that wasn't even a question. In conclusion, brethren, Satan is striking at the church at every turn. He's trying to scatter the flock. But it is God's Spirit that's going to hold us together. It's that nucleus that's going to bring us together and hold us bonded and tight. And as the storm comes along, we hang on tight to that trunk of the tree. As Christ asks the question, will he find faith? Let our answer be, yes, absolutely. God, I'm here for you. I love you. I want to be there. I want to do the things that are important unto you. Being filled with God's love towards one another and towards those who spitefully use us. It is going to take great faith to overcome and maintain that understanding when you're faced with adversity. It's beyond human comprehension, but it's not beyond God's Spirit, which is within you. As I said, we need the trials. We need to grow so that we can teach those lessons in the world tomorrow. And so that we can, as our eyes start to open and we understand the supremacy of God's way of life, and as we continue on this journey, we want to do the things that are pleasing unto him. And then as Satan's mud washes away and our windshield becomes clear and we see, oh, you know what? I can't hear you anymore. I can't hear that bantering back there to say, hey, you know what? You're out of money this week. Oh, you know what? You're out of... There's a lady over there, a young lady that's after you. Or there's a guy that, you know what, he's not in the church, but come on. Maybe God will convert him. Brethren, stay focused. If it's meant to be, God will bring it to fruition. Unlike Satan, who was given everything and he wasn't thankful for it, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful for what God has given us and be content in serving God in whatever capacity he has given us. Let's truly see it. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. I'm sorry, 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Oh, brethren, what a wonderful calling. Never forget, God's way is not just for a season, but for eternity. And the supremacy of God's will, God's way of life, and his loving understanding cannot be compared to what this world is offering us now.